Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being so attentive. Thank you for being here. We are so blessed that you're here. As I said, we have family from all over. And we have Marilyn, who's all the way from Tennessee just for this occasion. We're so happy to see you. We're so happy to see you, Marilyn. And if I'm correct, you're moving here for good. Next month. So we are so excited for that. And yes, it has been absolutely great having Caleb and Carissa and Maislin with us. We've had so much fun. We don't want them to leave. I think I'm getting this grandparent thing down. One of the best parts of being a grandparent is, you know how many diapers I've had to change this weekend? Zero. Zero. And we're going to keep it that way. There's a lot of love around that people can take care of that. However, if duty calls, see what I did there? If duty calls, and there's absolutely no one else, I will step up to the plate and do my part. So, hey, I want to share with you something cool. You may not be as excited about this as I am, because, you know, I'm kind of a preacher, theology nerd, and, you know, but something really cool happened. I just have to share with you. You know, we didn't quite know that Caleb and Carissa and Maislin, we didn't quite know when they were going to come be here. And it wasn't till just a few weeks ago that everything was finalized and, you know, plane tickets and all the logistics. And then we figured out today would be the day for the baptism. And so I had originally intended to kind of set aside this series that we've been in. For those of you who are a regular part of our church, you know that we have been looking at the letters of 1st and 2nd Peter. I actually started this series months ago, back in May, started in 1st Peter, and we worked our way slowly through that entire book. And then just a few weeks ago, we started into 2nd Peter. Peter, as you know, was an eyewitness to the account of Jesus. He spent 3 years with Jesus, learning and being mentored and discipled by Jesus. And so today, with the baptism, my intent was to kind of set aside the series that we're in. And I was going to preach from Matthew chapter 3 on the baptism of Jesus. How appropriate would that be? And so that was my intent. Until just a few days ago, I said to myself, let me peek into what would have been our passage for today that we were going to look at in 2 Peter. And lo and behold, Peter mentions word for word, verbatim, the words that the Lord spoke at Jesus' baptism. And so we're not going to set aside our study in 2 Peter because Peter references the words that the Lord spoke to Jesus. So I get excited about that kind of stuff. I love how God does those kinds of things. But we are in this series called Momentum, a living faith in motion. Peter, this disciple of Jesus, wants us to have a living faith, a vibrant faith that propels us to live the life that God wants us to live. So take your Bibles or your Bible apps to 2 Peter, and I want to read this passage to you, and we'll look at it here briefly this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. And I'm going to read beginning at verse 12 through the end of the chapter. There's a lot here, so don't let it overwhelm you. But let's look briefly at what Peter says to those of us who want to live with a faith-filled, fueled momentum that keeps our eyes focused on God in these days that we're living in. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory. So this is important here. Peter is writing to remind us, to refresh our memory of the things that God has done for us. because if you're like me, sometimes we don't remember things very well. And so Peter's saying, I want to refresh your memory. I want to remind you of the love and the grace and the mercy that God has had for you and has for you. It is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. There it is again. He's urging us to remember the things that God has done for us. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father. When the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son, or this is my beloved. That's the title of the message this morning. This is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And so he's referring to the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, but these exact same words the Lord spoke at the baptism of Jesus that we'll look at here in just a moment. We have heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have heard the word the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Because here in 2 Peter 1:17, we see the exact same words in Matthew 3:17. This is the baptism of Jesus. Now Jesus is our example. He came from the Father. He is God. But he is our example for how to live and how to relate to God. And so one of the examples that Jesus sets for us is the importance of baptism. That's why we take baptism seriously. It's one of the sacraments of the church. And all who would follow after Jesus should be baptized, even as Jesus himself set the example for us to be baptized. And let me just read to you from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, the account of Jesus' baptism. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, or this is my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. It is no coincidence that the voice of God from heaven was spoken as soon as Jesus was baptized. This is my beloved, whom I am well pleased. You know, as Maislin was baptized this morning, someday, hopefully her parents and her grandparents and those of you who are here will be able to talk to her about it and say, you know, I was there when you were baptized. You were a baby. You were barely a month old. And I would want for Maislin to know what I want all baptized people to know. I would want them to know and remember and reflect on the words of the Lord that came from heaven at Jesus' baptism. It was also at his transfiguration, as Peter reminds us. I want Maislin to know now that she's baptized, and for all who are baptized, that she belongs to God. Remember the voice said, "This is my beloved." Those of us who are baptized into the family of God, into the community of faith, we are God's beloved. We belong to Him. He has saved us and rescued us from the dominion of this world. And we all know how ugly and hurtful and evil this world can be. God has saved us from this world and set us on a new path and given us a new community. We are baptized into the family of God. This is my beloved. We are God's and His alone. If you've been baptized, God claims you as His own. And that's a really comforting place to be. I was baptized as an infant. My parents did for me what I could not do on my own. And out of their love and concern and grace for me, they had me baptized as an infant. And now even as an adult, I hold on to that baptism. And I remember, as my parents have told me, and I've seen pictures, that I belong to God. The prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the major prophets. Three times, one of his primary messages in Jeremiah chapter 30, chapter 31, chapter 32. Three times the prophet says to the people of God, that God says, "I will be your God and you will be my people." God is a possessive God. He wants you for Himself. I remember when Caleb was just a little kid, and he was a cute little kid as well. I don't know, Renee and I were out to eat somewhere, and some stranger, which happened to us quite a bit, came up to us and looked at Caleb and started doing, "Oh, he's so cute," you know, all the googly stuff, you know, and, you know, playing with his chin and his chubby cheeks, and, "Oh, he's so cute, he's so, you know, adorable." And then she said, "Can I take him home?" And I know she was probably just joking. But we looked at her and we said, "No! He is our baby! He is our son! He is our beloved! Of course you can't take him. He belongs to us." Now I wish I had that lady's number when Kev was about 16, you know? And, no, I'm kidding. For all who are baptized, remember the words of the Lord. This is my beloved. God wants you for Himself. You belong to Him. You no longer belong to the world. You certainly don't belong to the devil. You belong to Him. I will be your God and you will be my people. God is a possessive God. Second thing I would want Maislin to know, and for all the baptized to know, is that she is loved. If you have been baptized into the family of God, you are loved. "This is my beloved. This is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love." The voice of God from heaven looked down on Jesus who was baptized and proclaimed His love. I am going to be 51 years old in 2 months. I've been preaching for 24 years, almost half those years. I've been a Christian my whole life. And I am still trying to figure out just how great God's love is for us. As I read earlier to begin the service from Psalm 117, "For great is His love towards us." We can't even begin to fathom just how great and vast God's love for us. It takes a lifetime to try to wrap our minds around the great love that God has for us. All weekend I've been watching Caleb and Chris, and they take great care of Maislin. I see how they hold her lovingly, and they talk to her, and they feed her, and they take care of her. No one is going to take better care of her than her parents. But if If earthly parents will take good care of their child, how much more will God our Father take care of us and love us? Jesus even said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? God's love is vast. It's great. I want Maislin to know. I want the community of the baptized to know that you are loved. And it's a kind of love that you will not experience anywhere else except in the presence of God as you belong to Him. Like that song we sometimes sing in church. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless and free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest. Peter is writing to remind us, to give us the momentum. We can keep on pressing on with the Lord because we are His and we are loved. We are loved with an incredible love. And this is what happens when someone comes to realize that they are loved by God. Something amazing happens. When you come to realize that God's love for you is great and it's immense and it's unfailing and it's eternal, something amazing happens. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. Again, Jesus is our model, our example in all things, and He tells us what to do with this great love that God has for us. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. And in other places in the Bible, Jesus Himself speaks these very words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the response of someone who has come to realize the vastness of God's love for them. They then take all that love and turn it around and love others. Luke 10:27. We have been loved by God. We then take that love and turn around and love the Lord our God. Then we also are to love our neighbor or love others. I circled it for you to make it easier. And then we are to love ourselves. Love for God, love for others, and love for yourself. We have received the incredible love of God, and so a well-balanced life then takes that love and turns around and loves God, loves others, and loves ourselves. The three need to be there. If you're missing one or two or more, you're not living the kind of life that God intends for you to live. What happens if the balance is off? What happens, let's say, if you only love the Lord your God? Well, there are people like that in history. We call them monastics. There are people who say, I just want to love God. You know, people kind of irritate me. I just want to go off and love God and learn about Him. And so there are communities of monastic people who go off and they just want to love God. That's it. That's not healthy. What if we only focused on loving our neighbor? Well, that's not healthy either. And taken to the extreme, that's called Diogenes syndrome. Now, it begins with something called compassion fatigue. And those of us who are ministers are susceptible to that. A lot of, you know, nurses and doctors, people who pour themselves into only loving others, experience compassion fatigue because you give and you give and you give to others. And Diogenes syndrome is the extreme where you really neglect yourself. You neglect taking care of yourself. That's not healthy. What happens if you only love yourself? Narcissism. And we all know people who love themselves, right? That's all they think about. Me, myself, and I. And that's incredibly unhealthy. And so there needs to be a balance between the three. God loves us, and so we in return should live a balanced life. Love for God and yourself lead to a healthy, godly, well-balanced life as intended. And to take us for a loop, Jesus added a fourth one, which is our verse for this month, printed on the back of your bulletin. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Love your enemies. Do good to them. This is how great God's love is for us. He fills us with so much divine love that we then can turn around and even love our enemies. Amazing. And so I want Maysland to know, I want the community of the baptized to know that you belong to God. And you are beloved. You are so beloved that you can live such a healthy, well-balanced life that you have more than enough love to give to God, to give to others, to give to yourself, and even to give to your enemies. That's how much God has poured Himself, His love, into us. That we can live such a well-balanced life and then give that love to others. If you've never been baptized, maybe it's because you don't know that God wants you exclusively for Himself. There is no better place to be than in God's care, in God's love, among the family of God. And maybe it's because you don't know just how loved and valued and precious you are. You know, every time I hold Maysland, she is so precious. She is so fragile. Life is precious and fragile. Yes, there's a resiliency to our bodies, and that's a wonderful thing, but in the end, we are all very fragile. I'm thinking of Sherry, who's with us this morning, and if you've followed us on social media, you know that Sherry was given less than 24 hours to live. Life is fragile, and yet by God's grace, you're here, Sherry, and we celebrate your life. Yes. God is a God of love. He loves you. He wants to give us life. He fills us with His love. You belong to Him. And Peter is reminding us, don't forget, this world does not own you. You belong to God. You are loved by God. Would you stand with me and let us pray? Father, if there's someone here today who wants to belong to you, the invitation is open, for you love all of us deeply. That voice from heaven as Jesus was baptized is that same voice that speaks today to all those who are baptized. And may someone hear those words today spoken directly to them. You are my beloved. And I pray, God, that somebody here today would say, you know what? I don't know if I've lived my life belonging to God, but I want to belong to God now. And I want to belong to Him because He loves me with an incredible love. And I want to be so filled with that love that then I can turn around and love God in return and serve Him. That I can turn around and love others. That I can begin to love and cherish myself. And yes, that I can even love my enemies. That's the power of love. And if there's someone here today who says, I need that for my life. I want that. I know that your loving arms will accept and embrace any and all who would take that first step towards you. And maybe someone here today wants to take that first step and say, I I need to belong to God. And I need His love. And maybe there's someone here today who would take that first step. May it be so. Lord, we thank You, we love You, and we praise You. And may the words that You spoke to Jesus ring loud and clear to us as God says, You are My beloved. Major Jim Ross, would you come? And I'm going to ask him to close us in prayer and pray a prayer of blessing over Caleb and Carissa and Maislin, but also a prayer of blessing for all of us. And before you leave, there's cupcakes out at the Joyful Grind, so grab a snack and let us just celebrate. Would you please pray a prayer of blessing and dedication over this family and over all of us?
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of this child,
yes,
Maislin, that You have given to Caleb and Carissa,
yes,
to raise, to love, to care for. We pray that the parents would be faithful in,
yes,
teaching her line upon line, precept upon precept, the Word of God, how to live, how to be gracious,
yes,
how to enjoy life,
yes,
in the sun. We pray that You bless this family, knit their hearts together in love as they work together and bring this child to maturity, so that she at some point in her life would turn her heart to,
yes,
You,
yes,
and make the decision to follow Christ,
yes,
that He would be all to her.
Amen.
And now, Lord, would You bless us with Your presence, Your,
yes,
Spirit, each one of us here this morning. May we go with Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Grab a cupcake on your way out. Thanks for worshiping with us. Have a great week.
John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.